I've got two contrasting stories to begin with today. This is Russ Dizdar, Shattered Live Broadcast on a Monday night. This the 16th already of May. We're in the midst of monsoon here in our area. It seems like it's been raining for 60 days and 60 nights. Wow, is it wet around here. Want to welcome all those by satellite and all those by internet and all those later on by the archives. In the name of the God of heaven who loves you, in the name of Jesus Christ, blessings. And may God stretch out his hand, make it a very empowering and, encounter. Regardless of the background of those that do listen, we want you to know that we've prayed, we believe God will stretch out his hand. Well, there's two areas I want to touch. One, in the UK. I get an email today from a sister in Christ out of China. A great person. And they've sent me an email about something that occurred. Well, it's in the Telegraph, May 16th, the UK. Here's the title. British woman beheaded in... she made a desperate plea for help before the attack. This dear lady, Jennifer Mills Westley, the British woman beheaded at a supermarket. She tried to avoid her tormentor by taking refuge in an office doorway. Now, the reason that I think my friend from China has sent this to me, the question is, the perpetrator who attacked her, who then cut off her head and held her head up in the air by her hair, was said to be crazed, someone that was let out of the mental institution. 28-year-old homeless man was already known for his unpredictable and sometimes violent behavior. He was giving some threatening behavior to the woman, the Britain woman, 60-year-old, retired, just living her life in retirement. She saw some danger. She tried to take refuge and hide out a little bit and then went back out there. And then this man attacked her. He had left a psychiatric unit where he was reportedly being treated. Paranoid schizophrenia. Is that right? Did you know that a lot of multiples, chosen ones, especially when it comes to guys, instead of treatment for healing and help to get out of it all, they usually show up in prisons and they're, well, like this guy. So the question is this a rogue chosen one? The truth is, a number of multiples have been pre-diagnosed schizophrenic before the reality of multiplicity was found out, or bipolar. So once again, did this kind of killing, regardless of the whether multiple or not multiple, schizophrenic, whatever else, obviously something strange and spiritual involved, because the man claimed to be a prophet of God as he carried out, and I quote, the frenzied attack. Now, I'm going to read you this today because we're dealing with a week called Random or Not. Random or Not. Random episodes, events, chaos, and the crazy eruptions of the end of days. What's up with May 21st? Why Harold Camping? Why that date of the return of Christ is not only wrong? Now, let me tell you something. I got a lot of folks asking about May 21st, and since this week, goes into the weekend, we're going to deal with that specifically on Tuesday night. But another issue is that a warning has come up. We've placed it on the ShatterTheDarkness.net website, where it says posted threats. And I can only read you a little bit of this because I don't read Latin, but it is partially in Latin. It just says, "Hi there, Russ, how are you? I have so many questions." And then it moves right into Latin. Now, I did use a translator to do this. Here's what it says. "We wanted to let you know that very all the sleepers," referring to chosen ones that are intact sleepers, assassins, "will awake up early on May 21st. Some say this is the end of the world. There arises the gates of hell and opens the program." will many enable many murderesses, as I am scheduled to destroy the churches, and many others show and attack ministries, may already be aware of her, and to sow discord between those who seek to free us from that. You cannot help it. You are our next target. Interesting, isn't it? Now, this comes amidst engagement with another young, third-generation chosen one. Call-ins have come in, and a sub-personality demonized. Numerous calls had come in. I contacted the man back. We had some interaction. Now, what I did was I also posted the letter that came in the mail. Now, again, I'm not saying it's a big and major thing, but I'm going to say that there's been, through the years, threats, individuals that have shown up at our house, things that have been put in the mail, all kinds of stuff. This letter that came included a portion of the scriptures burned, Revelation 13, that deals with the new order, the Theron, or the beast kingdom that Daniel talks about. Now, that's where they burned around the edges, and in the voice emails, they said that we're not going to be able to stop the new order. They are warning me not to try to stop the young man or try to lead him to Christ from his chosen path, telling me to be wary of the consequences of our resistance to them. To the rise of this Luciferic truth anyway. And it says at the bottom, Theron rises, some symbols, some other things, power cone type things. Now, I went ahead and placed that. So it's on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, as you look at this week's theme, random or not. Now, we're going to talk about, a number of things. Today, six random events, threats, chaotic things. We're going to take a look around the world. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to tell you that, on the website, there's a mini-cast, only about 8 minutes long, to go over all of this week. There's PDF file notes, study notes, outline notes for this week, and then the posted threats. Monday night, we're going to deal with six of these. We're going to engage the issue that I bring up a lot of times when I say the dark side is bulging at the seams. What do I mean? I want to clarify that tonight. I want to clarify that on the basis of biblical revelation, prophetic revelation, and the events. So we'll look at that. Tuesday night, we're going to deal specifically with Harold Camping and why he's horribly, horribly wrong on date setting like this and all the billboards and everything else. God doesn't need anybody to put up a billboard and set a date. It's not about dates, as you'll see in Matthew 24 again. The King, Christ himself, talks about signs of the times, but never dates. Wednesday night, we're going to talk about the threats that have come in, past threats that have come in, and we're going to go over some of those things. People have asked before, and the events that I have written about in the book, The Black Awakening. Now, my friend that has written from China has read that book, and there's many now in around the world, actually, that read the book, and they're asking questions about in their nations and places because there are these chosen ones, these, secular world might call them DID or SRA, Satanic Ritually Abused Dissociative Identity Disorder, all those terms, but that doesn't come close to the real definition of the goal of the transmutation of human beings, trying to make them, super soldiers, but for whom? Once again, it has everything to do with the end of days. What happened to the dear 60-year-old woman in the UK, not only horrific, but I think, again, signs of the times, not because, we can always say, it always happens. It's happened back in Canada. Remember the man on the bus that kind of went crazed on the bus and locked the bus up and just sat there quietly and then reached in front of him and cut off the head of the man in front of him and he began to eat the man. This is out of Canada. So we have, you know, bizarre things, and we think this is, I think maybe back in the 50s, we heard of some bizarre, weird things, you know, and that they were in some kind of insane asylums, you know, a few weird people that were all brushed off to you know, the places that nobody wanted to work or visit. But it's not like that. Not with the shooters and the killing and the random things and all the stuff that's going on now. Now, we're going to deal Thursday night with five psychological emotions that are manifest in the end of days. We're going to talk about number one, the spiritual glaze. Number two, squawking fear. Number three, blind hedonism. Number four, shock and awe, don't touch me. And number five, anticipation on its tippy toes. As a matter of fact, biblical prophetic revelation, the Spirit of God showing us the future, not only gives us the details of the sequence of events, but even the actual words that are spoken, the critical mass, the feelings, the emotions that are going to be there. That we can see that we're on the way, clearly. Friday night, we're going to talk about the clarity and sequence of the end of days. We're going to touch again on Rob Bell, The End of Hell. You know, the emerging church's, Laodicean embarrassment for the existence of hell. They just don't understand radical evil at all, do they? Evolutionary Christianity, the new positive, happy folks that are embracing the evolution of the universe as if it was God. And they're using Christian terms, but they are massive in their deceit. In their presentation. So I'm going to bring out some more information about Michael Dodd, even some Christian schools, I guess, he's been to share and teach, but they don't know who he really is. But that's part of the ascended master that guided Alice Bailey in dictating how they would seek to bring deceit, trick the body of Christ. Do we understand these things? How about Russian Satanism, and is the false prophet himself underground somewhere? Now, that's Friday night. This week, random or not, I go on to talk about the demonized voice that calls in. The world swells with random events. The powers of darkness increase. Spiritual counterfeits are offered, and the love of many that grows cold. Now, let me give you a little bit of just some other breaking news that have come in. Stephen Hawking. Now, this is global news right now. Absolutely global news. I mean, atheists, agnostics, and transhumanists. And believers everywhere, they're going to be talking about this. Scientists will be struck around the world. This is world news. Stephen Hawking, the famous scientist, physicist. Listen, I'm quoting from Liz Goodwin in her article. Stephen Hawking says, afterlife is a fairy story. It's a fairy story. The brilliant scientist, the brilliant man that has written books that have sold in the millions, sitting in the chair, crippled up the way that he is. They put a big picture of Stephen Hawking there. You'll probably see it if you've been on the web at all, or if you see it on news some other place. But here's what it says, quote, renowned physicist Stephen Hawking recently explained his belief that there is no God and that humans should therefore seek to live the most valuable lives they can while on Earth. Now, they're going to be those like Richard Dawkins. There's going to be atheists and others. They're going to love this scientific or physicist's proclamation. Here's his proclamation. A man sitting in the chair with all the massive science in the world can't help him. You know, it's one thing I want to say honestly that I applaud Stephen Hawking in the sense that he, with this, I mean, to see him in the chair, to see that he has to, and how he has to communicate and what he does and how he teaches, that's some tremendous perseverance and accomplishment, really. But one wonders, the moment I begin to read, and I've read Stephen before and talked about him before, One wonders whether or not it is the bitterness issue. It is the, I can't understand why I am here in this situation. It is the issue of, like atheists and agnostics and nihilists have said in the past, you know, listen, look at the bad things going on in the world. How could there be a good God if bad things are going on? That's, again, where we come down to capacity to understand. If you paint one side of the house, only one side of the house is painted. You can paint it, do the trim, make it look great. What about the other side? And that's part of the issue that scientists, physicists, and others, they're working on one side of an issue, but it's in its own search, evidencing vast limitations. So the world-renowned physicist, scientist, one who would be considered by millions, if not more, billions, one of the smartest men on the planet. So one of the smartest men on the planet says, afterlife is a fairy story. There is no God, Stephen Hawking says, that humans should therefore seek to live the most valuable lives they can while on this planet. Let me ask you a question. Is that really it? Listen, if you're listening as someone who does recon, listening as a undergrounder who doesn't believe this anyway, it's interesting. Here's the quote. I have lived with the prospect of an early death for the last 49 years. I'm not afraid of death, but I am in no hurry to die. I have much I want to do first. I regard the brain as a computer, which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife or broken down computers. That is a fairy story people afraid of the dark tell. Now, it goes on to say this. Hawking's 1988 book, Brief History of Time, sold about 9 million. Hawking references God metaphorically as the force that could explain the creation of the universe. Hawking says in 2010 that, quote, science will win. Now, Ray Kurzweil, transhumanist, you know, he's going to love this. Science will win. Transhumanist, well, they want to get the gene. They want to be able to win and create immortality. Science will win in a battle with religion because it works. Really? How's it working for you, Stephen Hawking? Maybe it's time to be a little bit tough. I know, as all of us should, to have great compassion and would love to sit down and discuss this with Stephen. But maybe it's time to just talk straightforward because of the reality of the sin nature. Romans 8, it tells us that in the fallen state, the sin nature is hostile to God. Doesn't want to submit. And looking at one side of everything, you don't have the whole house. You don't have the whole picture. I don't care how much science you got. It's without question massive in its limitation and lack. It creates more questions, as does Dawkins and others, the atheists, than they have answers. The question pile is about 10,000 feet tall, while the answer pile is a few pages. Let's go on a little bit. What could define God as the embodiment of the laws of nature? However, this is not what most people would think of that God, Hawking told Sawyer. They made a human-like being with whom one can have a personal relationship. Hawking knows that much. Stephen Hawking knows that much. They're saying that mankind made God to be like a human-like being. Is that all Christ is? Is that the reason Christ went to the cross? Is this the whole thing? Then all of Scripture is just the fairy tale to Hawking. It has to be declared. Let's talk boldly. Let's talk clear. Let's talk honest. If Stephen comes to this conclusion in his personal world, It's all a fairy tale than all of Scripture is and all that Jesus was and did on the cross. This again demonstrates the rejection. See, so many want God to bow to their finite whim, God to bow to their level of understanding. They want God to come through the hoop they've created. And God says no. God opens wide the doors. God summons. Creation speaks in for. Listen, there is general revelation. There is massive, massive revelation of the existence of God. There's the special revelation. And I am confident, knowing God, walking with God after 37 years, that the Spirit of God does speak. And it is possible, like in the book of Acts, where a man named Stephen speaks to others, telling them that they always resist the Holy Spirit. Stephen Hawking has, at this point in his life, up to this time, resisted the Holy Spirit of God, who speaks. And while you're listening right now, who speaks to you? As maybe a backslidden believer, maybe someone who's a seeker looking for some answer. And I'm going to constantly point you to the fact, here is the deep theology I would share with you. God loves you. God knows you. And nobody wants you more than God does. So I would say once again with an open heart, read the Gospel of Mark. Read the Gospel of John. If you stand there saying, man, I'm just an atheist, I'm just an agnostic, like Vincent Bugliosi, I think that I'm going to respond to his entire book. I think Vincent's book, Divinity of Doubt, I think I'm going to respond to the entire contents in a five-night upcoming week. Because once again, without God, like Stephen Hawking, like Richard Dawkins, like Vincent Bugliosi, they have no ability to speak about God. They don't have the slightest taste of God, and they seem to nix. I mean, they're not that compassionate towards any human being that claims that they do know God. So maybe it's time to talk straight. Maybe it's time to share straight. Being confident that in the unleashing and sharing of the gospel of Christ, great news, good news of God, I don't care, be it a scientist, physicist, maybe an astrophysicist, I don't care if it's a brain surgeon, rocket scientist, doesn't make any difference. There is the presence of the Spirit of God who does witness, who does speak, who does know how to get into the depths of an individual's heart and bring them to an encounter, though the heart could resist, though the mind and the heart of a man and a woman can resist. Maybe you're listening right now and you've been resisting. You stand there resisting. There is no God. It's all a fairy tale. When we die, we die. Our brain is just nothing more than a computer. Really? Does that answer all the questions? Does that tell us where we came from, where we're going, why we're here in the first place? Does that answer the question why Stephen Hawking is in a chair? Why there is disease, malfunction? Is it just a matter of the transhumanist fixing all the genetic flaws, becoming the super gods in science? Is that all that we're looking for? Will Ray Kurzweil beat the clock and get the immortal gene before he dies and is zipped out of here, out of his existence? Come on. Hawking's latest book, I quote again, The Grand Design, challenged Isaac Newton's theory that the solar system could not have been created without God. Here's what Stephen Hawking says. Because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. Now, to me, let me just be blunt. That sounds stupid. That just sounds nuts. Spontaneous creation, out of nothing, spontaneous creation. Really? The cause behind that? Spontaneous, random, chaotic, what? Randomness? The spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. why the universe exists, why we exist. It is not necessary to invoke God, Hawking says, to set the universe going, he writes. Now again, as I look at him in the chair, as I've spoken on Stephen Hawking in the past, I once again say again, how sad, how utterly, utterly, absolutely sad. Now, here's what Stephen Hawking says that struck me the most. That's why I posted it on my Facebook page. And I'm going to read some of your responses, some of you that have already responded to that Facebook page and shared your responses to Stephen Hawking's declaration that afterlife is a fairy tale, there is no God. And I want to quote one more thing that Stephen Hawking says. I'll get to all the other randomness and all the events and all the chaos, but literally this story of the British woman who got her head cut off by a crazed man, schizo man, whatever he really was or is, and held her head. I mean, on the one hand, you have that occurring, depicting such radical, random, crazy, evil. Does a scientist like Stephen Hawking acknowledge radical evil? Does he acknowledge that we do these things? Is it just a matter of genes? Is it just a computer that needs a new chip? Do we just need to reprogram it, get a fix? Maybe we can go to PC, fixmypc.com and fix our heads so that we don't cut off the heads of 60-year-old women on a British street by a supermarket. When I read Stephen Hawking's word in this article, listen. Quote, when you look at the vast, this is Stephen Hawking, world-renowned physicist, scientist, everybody would say one of the smartest men on the planet. Here's what one of the smartest men on the planet has to say. And I really wish I could engage direct. On the one hand, I want to be just as compassionate as I need to be and pour out the love of God without any shame whatsoever, without any reservation whatsoever. If he would let me hug him, I would hug him. If he would let me kneel down and look at him in the face, even with tears in my eyes, I would proclaim to him, God is real. Christ did rise from the dead. Because your science can't touch that, that's why you reject it. Because your science can't reach that, that's why. What has your science done for you while in that chair? But Stephen Hawking, the one of the most brilliant men of the world, as they say. Now, I'm going to say right now, I don't believe he is. I believe he's missed the more than half of it all. To miss God, how can you claim to be wise? Well, the scripture says, you ever read it? 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. You ever read this? Where they claim to be wise. God says, where's the scholar? Where's the philosopher? Where are you? God makes foolishness the finite scratchings of the brilliant. The world's view of brilliance, maybe that's what they feel Stephen is, the world's view. And that's why they're doing the interviews, and that's why they would post his comment. I mean, the guy down at the bar that I was witnessing to, he says there's no God. The guy in the steam room or the hot room there at the YMCA, there's a guy there. There's no God, really. You can say that with absolute infallibility. Do you have any answers for where we came from, why we're here, where we're going, what life's all about? Can you explain why one guy cut off the head of a 60-year-old woman there in the UK? Here's what Stephen Hawking says. I'm going to quote it now. Quote, when you look at the vast size of the universe and how insignificant and accidental human life is in it, that seems most impossible. Is this what the most brilliant, one of the most brilliant men in the world feel about humanity? The vast size of the universe is nothing to God. He created it. God, infinite, immeasurable, but knowable, personal. Yeah, I mean, Stephen's declaration that we just kind of created a human-like being who we can have a personal relationship with. Well, close but no cigar. He's more than just a human-looking being. I mean, God Logos became human flesh. What about the physics of the incarnation? What about the physics of the infinite God in human flesh doing what Stephen Hawking, Richard Dawkins, Vincent Bugliosi, and Ray Kurzweil couldn't do if they worked on it the rest of their lives? What Jesus did at the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the monogenesis. Unique, Stephen, unique. Absolutely only one of a kind. All those prophecies, it's not about fact and science. It's about personal bitterness, maybe. It's about personal hardship. It's about anger at times. It's about hostility in the heart. Maybe you're listening now and you know that you realize, you know, it's not about just using as an excuse some atheistic argument. Well, there's evil in the world, and because there's evil in the world, there can't be no good God. Unless, of course, that evil is a real satanic presence that we open the door to, and the evil that we do is because of the sin nature that dwells within, and that's what drives mankind to do what we do. But if Stephen Hawking is considered the world's most, or one of the world's most brilliant men, and he reduces the significance of humanity as a accidental human life, if he reduces the creation itself that screams of God's existence, his invisible qualities, his divine nature, his power, spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing, I respond respectfully that seems stupid to me. On the Facebook page dealing with this that I posted concerning Stephen Hawking, again, a worldwide event today, one dear friend writes, poor, poor man. Another individual writes, if this life is all there is, then it's not worth living. What a sad man. Another writes, so very sad. He could have had so much joy by knowing Christ. Someone else writes, if this life was all there is, what does people have to look forward to? Seriously, I don't understand how people can even think this way. What a sad environment and life it would be to have that mindset. Hopefully he will come to the truth before it's too late. Another writes that Stephen strikes him as a very embittered man. Another writes, we die and that's it? Question mark? I thought science said energy can't be destroyed. Another writes, Mr. Hawking don't know what he's missing out on. I pray for a conviction in his heart. Let's pray for this poor man. Another writes, he would know cause. He's got an omniscient view of the universe. Where does Hawking get his info from? I mean, is this an opinion or something that he believes he figured out through physics? I know it's all a deception, but I wonder what he thinks about the source. He does need our prayers. Well, another writes, the answer is a big yes. God can do what he wishes, and especially if we ask him. No one on this earth comes close to loving Stephen Hawking as much as God does. Another one writes, this is extremely sad, and his bitterness is showing through. Another writes, the hollow shell of a man left with only his thoughts. I pray Jesus will reveal himself to Mr. Hawking. Would that be, listen, why don't we all pray that way all of us that know, from all over the world, from all over these places, all of our different backgrounds, you and I share a testimony of knowing God, of having the indwelling Spirit of God, of knowing the living Christ. Another writes, "Let's pray this poor man find the Lord Jesus Christ." Another writes, "Sad man who will leave this world alone without God if he continues. Pray for him." Another writes, "Words from a hurting man flowing from a bitter heart. More than likely, many beach balls, that is, toxic, painful things inside that are popping up to the top only to be held down." This dear sister prays, "Oh Jesus, pour out your love in whatever way needs to be for this man, and may we have our ear open and hearts set to be used for many like him." Another writes, "Worse than his physical limitations is his spiritually handicapped." Wow. "Lord, please open Stephen's eyes to a saving knowledge of your truth and love for him. Soften his heart that he receive you as Lord and Savior in Jesus' name." And then a young man that has something else inside of him that he doesn't even know declares, "Reason will triumph." Yeah, really. Is that the infallible truth? Does that come from reason will triumph? So reason, and this is Stephen Hawking, that a spontaneous, the universe just created itself from nothing. Let me ask you a question. What is nothing? I thought nothing was nothing. If nothing, I mean nothing, is there substance to nothing? Is there a thing in nothing? Is there an element in nothing, or is nothing nothingness? How do you equate nothingness? How do you test nothingness? How do you measure nothingness? So again, Stephen Hawking and this young man that writes last, that reason will triumph. Really? Give me the reason the man, the crazed man on a street in front of a supermarket, attacks randomly, seemingly, a 60-year-old woman, cuts her head off, and holds her head up by the hair. What's the reason for that? What's the reasoning behind that? A spontaneous universe, really, out of nothing, something? Out of nothing, something, really? Again, being blunt, to me, that is nuts. Just nuts. But I am very glad for all the believers that wrote in, well over a dozen or more of you, and very, very clear that you have shared your heart and love for Stephen Hawking. Wonder if Stephen Hawking can feel that. Wonder if he can know that. Wonder if there's believers that have gathered around him. Well, listen, I've hit on this, and truthfully, out of this week, random or not, out of this week, chaos, random, look at the events. You know, I was doing earlier today, I was looking at just a lot of the world events going around us today. I mean, a lot of the crazy things. To me, the woman with her head cut off, and then Stephen Hawking's declaration sitting in that chair, to me, this is just part of that crazy, random stuff that goes on. This is going to include this week, though, threats and other stuff. We're looking at a picture of the so-called Pope as he's telling the bishops to root out sexual abuse. Wow, he's really on top of things, isn't he? How about the International Monetary Fund chief, Strauss Kahn? Attacks and sexually, well, commits a sexual crime. Now, this is what it says, London. "The arrest of the International Monetary Fund chief, Strauss Kahn, adds more uncertainty," listen to this, "uncertainty, randomness, fear, destabilization to Europe's debt crisis by removing a widely respected expert." Now, he's a widely respected expert, spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on himself, you know, in hotels that cost $3,000 a night, and then attacks a poor 32-year-old maid. I hope they bring the hammer down on him. "Widely respected expert," quote, "from talks on how to save the 17-nation Eurozone. So there is a random threat and chaos and event, and it just sends the world buzzing. Horrific picture emerges from besieged Syrian town. As so many are running and trying to get out, like the hundreds that were on that makeshift boat that sunk in the Mediterranean, 600 bodies floating around. They're talking about there in that little town, catastrophic scene, sectarian killings, gunmen carrying out execution-style slayings, and the stench of decomposing bodies in the streets. Oh, listen. In a world that we're living in, something tops that Guatemala massacre of what, 27 others? San Benito, Guatemala, I'm quoting now, the day worker lay wounded, playing dead as the killers cut off the heads of other victims. Pregnant woman was let go when her child started to cry. But 27 others in one of Guatemala's largest post-war massacres were slaughtered. Their bodies and severed heads were strewn across the green pastures of an isolated cattle ranch in the northern border province. You know, you go reading 100 different lines of local and national and global issues. What about earthquakes? Oh, 9 final New Zealanders are found. You know the earthquakes that occurred there? 9 final victims of New Zealand's devastating earthquake were declared dead Monday, ending an agonizing wait for families of people whose remains have never been identified in the wreckage. You know, I can go on and on and on here, but I'm going to stop just for now and ask you how you're doing today, because I'm going to bring you a word of hope. I'm going to bring you a word of reason to the young 19-year-old. Here's a word of reason coming from a Savior who died for you on a cross. You see, I don't see the atheist, I don't see Dawkins, I don't see Vincent Bugliosi, I don't see Stephen Hawking explaining to anybody the radical evil of the world or doing anything about it. The only thing they're trying to do is beat death. Beat their chest and say there is no God because you not come through God's doorway. You want to create your own? You want God to dance for you? You want God to be like your little puppy, a little dog where you could throw him a biscuit and tell him to bark and tell him to roll over? You want God to play roll over? You have no idea. All the while, God is trying to speak to your heart. It's about the heart. It's about your declaration of autonomy. It's all about that sin nature. Hostile to God. Doesn't want to submit. Yet the Spirit of God speaks, and I'm sure, listening right now, the young, well, you can call him an atheist, an agnostic, the philosopher student that has subpersonalities with demons that have called me. That's right, I posted it. You can get it on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, under posted threats. You can take a look this week. Listen, you can live this life and you can look around and say, wow, listen, you know what the world is? I'm going to mention this on Thursday. The psychological, the emotional feelings that are going around. I won't even use WebBot on that issue. 6 random events I mentioned on the notes. I'm going to give you all 6 of those real quick here. Listen, 1, the issue of war and violence. And we just mentioned it in Syria, Libya. We're seeing border wars and clashes there in Israel. I mean, it hasn't stopped in Iraq. It hasn't stopped in Afghanistan. And look at Pakistan. Buddies of the United States of America? Really? You know, it's really the world's elite, political, economic, even military guys. Like this International Monetary Fund, world-renowned chief, such an important man, and he's hiding naked in a bathroom ready to attack a maid. What an idiot. More than that, what a sinner. A sinner that can't control himself. What about your sins? Stephen Hawking, you're a sinner just like me. just like Vincent, just like Richard Dawkins. Sinners that need to look up at the face of a Savior. Is there anyone nicer? Is there anyone more true? Is there anyone that lived more perfectly? Take a look at Christ. Look at the exceptional life, the incredible words, but the deeds. Point number one, random events, six random events and threats and chaos and the things that are going on in the world around us. Well, one of those things is war, violence, the issues that that really do bring fear and scare many and bring, well, a lot to bear in the area of economics, in the area of national, you know, well, look at oil prices. Look what's happening around the world with war, violence. I mean, look at the Zetas. If they're the ones that did all the slaughtering down there in Guatemala, I mean, if they're there in Mexico, right off the border of the United States, and if thousands, some have said now, what, 30,000? How many have died in the drug wars? Do you know the drug wars down there are bigger than the Afghanistan war, bigger than the Iraqi war, bigger than what's going on in Pakistan? It's bigger than bin Laden, whether his body's in the bottom of the sea or not. War and violence and all the things that are going on, that's what's going on in the world that we live in. If the United States doesn't get it together, you know, what's happening there and the violence going on there, it's going to spill over here. Zetas are in the United States. And you don't realize that drug lords use demon gods and their powers and presence to advance their trade. Pharmakeon. Do you realize there is a bigger and broader sequential agenda and a fallen cherub that guides it all? Drug lords, Satan has you in his hand, and he will suck your soul to the end. And then you die, and then it's hell itself. Rob Bell is wrong. It's not that we create our own hell here in life. There's one waiting. And righteously so, and justly so. Number two, what about these earthquakes? It does seem like they're happening all over the world. I get a notification of all these different earthquakes around the world. We just had another one here shortly, and the New Zealand one, where they're going to finally say that some of these folks will never be found because of this. What about the ones in China, Japan? That was so sad. You know, again, seeing the bodies floating up on the shore out of the ocean. Really is. Where's it going to strike? California? Where Chile? Where are some of the next big ones going to hit? I was watching a video on this and where some of the faults are and some of the places are. The earthquakes to come, they say, are going to be off scale. They're going to be beyond what we've seen. They are trying to brace for it, build buildings to handle it, all the rest. It plays a major part in the end of days. It really does. Point number three, spiritual craziness. Well, let alone the guy that cut off the woman's head that claimed he was a prophet from God, let alone the fact that somebody's out there declaring the return of Christ and dating it for May the 21st. And I think, again, where there is so many of us trying to look at the signs of the times. And that's the issue we're going to deal with, signs, not dates. Here's where Harold Camping missed this. Here's where other date setters, 88 Reasons Why Christ will return in 1988. Oops, didn't happen. So 89 Reasons Why He will return in 89. Oops, where'd that guy go? You can know instantly when somebody sets a date that they're off the rocker, not listening to the Spirit of God, and they had to do a lot of manufacturing of all kinds of things to try to come up with a date. How stupid, because we're to look at signs, not dates. Point number four. Well, I can say spiritual craziness. Listen, even this week, I get reports from a chosen one's subpersonality that sleepers are going to be released on the 21st now. Now it's the satanic side. They're going to release their people. Is this the Black Awakening coming up? I don't know. I don't know the date. I do know the sovereign hand of God holds the restrainer in place. The restrainer is there to restrain, hold back the onslaught of hell. You better be glad for that. God's got grace for you today. God's giving you time today. God gives Stephen Hawking another day. What about you? What about your life as you listen? Drinking the coffee, smoking the cigarette, looking out the window, sitting on the couch. What about you? Do you know the depth of the love of God, the embrace? Does the Spirit of God indwell you? Do you know the living Christ? I hope it's well with your soul. I would even pray right now that the Spirit of God will break through if you don't know the living Christ. Good news, you can come to Him right now. You know why? God wills it. God summons you. The doors are open right now, today. And God calls you to turn and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the living Christ into your life. Forgiveness and freedom and God's empowerment. Oh, it involves the reason for our existence, the significance of our soul, the value of a life, the importance of the one life you and I have. If you're a believer already, why don't you offer your life, Romans 12, as a living sacrifice to God? In view of the mercy of God and the end of days, what else do you have to do? I mean, what else is most important? Anybody praying for God to strike with revival? Anybody praying Acts chapter 4, God, stretch out your hands? I believe God will still bring amazing and extraordinary things. Maybe God will, by providence, strike some Zetas and lead them to repentance before they're in a... If you think in terms of hell as a jail, a containment, but one of the other issues, there is no way out. There is no second chance. You spit in the face of God here and now. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to have Him then and there, ever. Point three, the spiritual craziness, the cults, the rise of satanic demonization. Got an email right away again today. I probably have about 20, and I apologize that I'm 600 to 700 behind. Again, what we had here, the flood, the stuff, we're going to have to move. We're really in that position right now of things in boxes, things being packed up, things all over the place. And in the midst of this, would seem crazy and chaotic and, yeah, threats that have come in, not big ones, but threats nevertheless, ritual stuff sent against whatever. Is it all random? Point four, economy. The economy. It's funny when I put this down that I see the... I see that this fellow from the chief of the International Monetary Fund. You want to talk about the elites? Did you know this? Did you know that the Antichrist has to have a big, big checkbook? Did you know that? When it comes down to it. I got a note here. I want to read this note. I'm not going to say a name or where it came from. Appreciate this. It says, Russ, how are you? You know, the globalists, you know what they're doing. They're going to try to destroy his church. Precious is the death of his saints. Do you need brothers to be with you where you are? Well, I appreciate that. I really do. All you need to do is ask. Might come down to that someday here. Blessings to you. You can't do this alone. We need you, and you need us in the name of Christ. You see, I get a word like this from a brother in Christ, ready to stand And again, I'm going to tell you the threats lately are not like on a big scale. If I had a color code, I wouldn't call it orange or red. But we've been through others, and we've had visitors on the property that took pictures. We've been through all that stuff, and if you read the end of my book, we talk about some of the responses. But you're right, precious is the death of his saints. And you know, my friend, maybe down the road that might, you know, we'll talk more about the end of days because, see, I see the train a-coming, hell's train. I see the red horse of Revelation 6 and the butchery that will come. The picture, and this is why the dear sister in China sends me the email of the lady who had her head cut off in England by a guy that's supposed to be schizo but believes he's a prophet of God. How crazy, how absolutely bizarre are these events that we're all hearing about worldwide? All of us feel the ominous stuff in the air. We know that more is coming. These are but The eruptions, the cracks as hell bulges to bring it on. And those listening that know what I'm talking about, Luciferians, yeah, you're bulging. You know this. That's what you've been writing me the last couple of weeks. The economy, yeah, look at it. Everybody's afraid. Money, the glut of houses. What's the housing industry? What's gas? Are you kidding me? Gas? $4.16 a gallon the other day. Someone said it was 16 cents in Iraq or Iran, one of the places. Oil is on the prophetic books where the Spirit of God has written that it becomes a big player in the end, the economy. Antichrist needs a big checkbook. Got to collect it all as the Theron, the regime's going to rise. Again, check it out, Revelation 13. Now, the fifth point of, again, all this randomness and chaotic stuff, people, the hearts of many growing cold. Well, of course, around the world, you know, here in the United States, I mean, there are so many things that are going on. People are afraid of other people. People are locking their doors with 3 and 4 bolts. We know this craziness that's going around. I mean, if you lived in Mexico, if you lived in Guatemala, look what's going on. I'm looking here again. A new note has just come up. It's not 27 that were decapitated in Guatemala's little city. It's 29 now. They're calling it worst massacre ever. 29. Drug lords. You got that, government? Gonna do anything about it? Pharmacon, a big part of Satan's push in the end of days. Drugs to the world. Mesmerize the world. Now, we can talk about the fifth thing, the mini will grow cold. We only have a couple minutes. Well, we're done. We're really done tonight. Sixth thing tonight we're going to deal with, well, we'll talk about it maybe quickly tomorrow. It's all about the future issue, May 21st. Word of hope comes out of Matthew 24. It really does. God is coming. He warns us, but Jesus says, but see to it that you're not alarmed, you who live in Christ. Know how you should stand. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in support. God bless. Good night.